That's the Grammy Award-winning jazz vocalist Kurt Elling. We're talking this hour about some of our favorite interviews, because longtime producer Veronica Rickard is preparing to leave our show for new radio adventures. Why, Veronica, did you pick this one? Why Kurt Elling?
Well, this is one of those interviews that some of it is burned in my brain forever. I love it when he says, "We are the most magnificent creatures on the planet, and look what we can do." I mean, the passion that this guy has is extraordinary. And he also has this gorgeous butterscotch pudding voice. You just hear that voice, and you just soak it in. And he also does this cool thing where he draws on his training as a former divinity school student, and he goes into these rants where he just sort of draws on that spirituality and lets the spirit go in these moments. It's a special gift.
I think I liked it in part because, I mean, I've listened to a lot of music over the years. I grew up with the beginnings of the folk rebellion back in the early 60s and on through the Beatles and the Stones and so forth. I never got into jazz other than Miles Davis and Thelonious Monk, maybe Oscar Peterson. But talking to him, you could find your way behind. You could find your way into the creation. And he made it so easy. Here he is.
One dark night, fired with love's urgent longings, clothed in sheer gray, I went out unseen, my house being now all still.
With My Foolish Heart, you start out with lyrics that we know.
Mm-hmm.
And then add lyrics. What?
Well, the lyrics, it's actually the part that I put in the middle is actually an adaptation of a translation of a poem by St. John of the Cross. I'm very interested in the juxtaposition of ideas. Yeah. And if you really think about, you know, my foolish heart, the foolishness of faith, the foolishness of, you know, believing in that which cannot be apprehended by reason, and being swept up into what was for him a very visceral experience, very keen and really kind of erotic experience of faith, then you're talking about a whole lot of different layers of meaning, where before there was just a very pretty love story happening.
Well, you're talking about two different kinds of love as well as two different mm-hmm. kinds of faith. This is boy meets girl love,
mm-hmm.
and this is love of the divine.
That's part of the beauty of it, is the element of surprise. Because then you move from having a pleasant smile on your face because everything is just swinging to presenting the possibility of a moment of awe, of a moment of mystery. And it's much more important to create mystery than it is to create a pleasant experience. That's one of the chief tasks of the artist, is to create further mystery. We don't have enough. We're discovering all this stuff all the time, and we're figuring everything out, and it makes us too smart. We're a hubristic species to begin with, and the mystery continues to, I don't know, elude our grasp, but we feel like we know more all the time.
Now, you were a divinity student.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me a logical deduction that there's a connection here, that Kurt Elling, the divinity student, and Kurt Elling, the jazz singer, brings together those two parts.
Yeah, they
of
go
your
together
life,
for
and
sure,
they, and they bring this in.
Well, you know, it's really sort of the two areas of exploration that I was given as a child. My father's a church musician, and so I was always involved in choirs and always involved in music, and don't really remember a time when I wasn't singing. And we were always in church. So there was always an exploration of ideas happening, you know. Mm-hmm. Lutherans, man, the sermon is a real thing, man. You know, it gets into people's heads and it crawls around inside of there and it makes you think about stuff. And that's what it's for. There are plenty of jazz musicians who certainly came up in the church and who wouldn't see a disparity at all between the two areas.
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking that you could be describing jazz. It's an idea that gets into your head and it crawls around in there.
That's right. That's right. And what jazz musicians are doing when they're improvising in front of an audience is that they're composing, they're letting the musical ideas speak for themselves. You know, you're a servant of the music. And you try to be honest about how you emotionally feel, and you let the music be your articulate device.
If you hear a song in blue, like the flowers crying for the dew, that was my heart serenading you, a prelude to a kiss.
You've come pretty well known for doing what you call ranting, which I assume means that you're off taking the audience with you in directions that they weren't expecting.
And that I'm not expecting. Uh-huh. That comes from years of living alone, and you finally get to talk to somebody. And another thing.
Yeah. So it takes you places that... that you didn't know you were going to go when you started there.
Yeah, when it's working, when it's fun. You know, that's the thrill of it. That's the thrill of, I don't want to say the chase, but the thrill of the gestalt. The woohoo, there it is. You know.
Do you remember when this happened for the first time?
Well, I was just, you know, as happens with most creative ventures, it happened just in a spirit of fun and silliness. I was working in a wedding band, and there were all these times when I'd be singing and the, you know, band leader would come up behind me while he was playing guitar, and he would say, you know, okay, tell them they're going to cut the cake. Everybody look over to the, and instead of just stopping singing or whatever, I would just, you know, get into it with the audience and just sing over the changes and tell a little story and the bride is this and how beautiful and whatever. And then when I was sitting in with the Ed Peterson band, Ed is one of the cats that has played regularly on my records and was a very strong and positive influence on my development early on, saxophone player from Chicago. And he had me on with his band at the Green Mill, where we recorded the live record. And he said, hey, you know, I'll just start playing, and you do some stuff that you do, and then the band will come in later, and it'll be beautiful. And because I trusted him, you know, I just said, okay. And sure enough, all this whole, you know, labyrinthine tale started to unfold. And it was, like, very impressive, man. Uh-huh. It wasn't what I expected to have happen at all.
We have one from one of your earlier recordings, The Beauty of All Things.
Oh, sure. There you go.
Can we listen for a minute?
Sure.
Here's what I see in your eyes right now. 10,000 lives over many years, like leaves on the vine of this morning's glory. The determination of years coming to fruition in the ever-present now of your life, unfolding now in the flowering of days. The constellations of stars in the sky are like a fugue of light in velvet hands. The melody
it's poetry that you're creating in the moment?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I'm just going off on something. Thank you for noticing that that was actually a rant. All the interviews I've done, like, this is the only time anybody's gone, hey, now what about this?
If you could tell your audience ahead of time there's one thing you wanted them to get out of what you do, do you know what it would be?
Part of the reason why I fell in love with jazz is because of experiences that I had in live settings listening to other performers and being enlightened by that experience and being moved and being uplifted. There are certain occupations that dignify the human experience, that cause people to feel as much of the beauty that they have to really feel it, to experience it. It's not just music making. I mean, you know, people go to art galleries for this as well. Like Chagall, you walk into a room with Chagall stained glass and there's this moment of wonder. And it reminds you that there's wonder all the time in human life. Or seeing Michael Jordan play basketball. I mean, look at what we can do. We're the most magnificent creatures that have ever existed. And look at what we can do. That's what I want people to have. It's not really me, it's that which is greater than me, which speaks through me as an artist.
That was recorded in 2003. It's Grammy Award-winning jazz singer Kurt Elling.